I'm Kurt Hitchcock, and this is Footsteps. Since 1996, the Democratic Republic of Congo has been embroiled in violence that has killed over 5 million people. It is the bloodiest conflict since World War II. Dukes, a refugee now living in Lancaster, was raised in the Congo. He was almost a casualty of this conflict. Both his parents were killed when he was young, and Dukes was raised by his uncle's wife, a Marangi Tutsi. In the area in which Dukes lived, a government-led purge was attempting to wipe out the Marangi. He was arrested by rebel forces when he was 18. Dukes could have been killed, but something amazing happened. You could call it serendipity. You could even call it a miracle.
Yeah, it started from where we locked up, where we arrested. They took us somewhere. They wanted to go and lock up from one prison to another place. Okay. And on the way, I was beaten up, and then I was unconscious. And then by then, I didn't know what was happening. I find myself somewhere, some kilometers from the place where I was, to a certain man was selling, we call firewood. Yeah, we call it charcoal in Africa. He was one of my auntie's customer of charcoal. When he saw me, he helped me, he rescued me to his place. And he's the one who helped me and asked for transportation to bring me in Zambia.
Dukes, knowing no one, having nothing, began life in a refugee camp in Zambia. The camp would be his home for almost 20 years, and yet, as he recalled his experience, he saw opportunities at the same time. There were extraordinary challenges.
Yeah, they just take you to that place, and then they give you a tent. Do you know a tent? Yeah, a tent, whereby you can build yourself your house with some trees, part of trees, and then you make some corners, you put a tent there, start living. Yeah, in camp, okay, life was not so easy, but we learned a lot. It is by then, we're doing so many things, I learned how to do.
In the camp, Dukes not only learned skills to help him survive, he also learned leadership and relationship building skills by becoming part of the camp settlement team, offering assistance to new and existing refugees. He was also a lay leader in his church. After several years in the camp, Dukes met and married Belinda, and together they had 3 children, Sadiv, who is now 9, Persil, 6, and Felicia, now almost 2. In October of 2015, after 20 years in the camp, Dukes found out that he and his family would be coming to America.
We're so excited. Yeah, so excited. Happy, yeah. No, I was so happy because, no, I was going to, it's like, I was in my journey to go to enter my dream. I don't know if, journey to dream.
Dukes made many friends while living in the camp, but he could not publicly tell anyone that their family was leaving to go to America. Sharing their joy could have resulted in a malicious and violent act of jealousy against their family.
To come here, they don't tell you that tomorrow you're going because something bad can happen to you. They just call you, say, right now, take a bus, come to the capital city, so that if they give you much time, people may know and come to do something bad to you. Because it's a big thing. It's a dream to each and everyone, to everybody, to come out from that problem. I spoke to my pastor only and some members of the church. Yeah.
And your pastor advised you not to say anything to anybody else?
Pastor says, on Sunday, I'll tell people. Okay. You just go first.
When they arrived in America, Dukes and family were about to encounter 2 special rookies in working with refugees, Roxanne and Beth. But little did the Dukes family know that a month before they arrived, their welcoming team didn't even exist.
As a mother and somebody who does not have a lot of time, a lot of money, and simply cannot leave to do mission work, although it would be very important to me to do that, I had read an article about who CWS, Church World Services, is, and that they were looking for welcome teams to welcome refugees into America. And this was the time when many Americans thought that Syrian refugees would be coming to America. And that's initially what I had thought. How can I help these families that are just like me, essentially? They're just like me, and their lives have been completely turned upside down. So it said, just call this number and say you want to become a welcome team. And I thought, this is what I can do. I can become a welcome team. So I called. I said, I would like to be a welcome team. And they said, great. We're always looking for people. Would you like to get together, meet at a coffee shop, and we'll go over what that really means? And so we did just that. I had met with Christine at Church World Services. She said that refugees are coming in from every nation, every day, all the time. Syrians aren't necessarily coming in yet, but there are still many, many, many families that need our help. Would I be open to any other families? I said, of course. Yes, whomever, I will help. So that's how I initially got involved.
Roxanne knows how to get things done. She knows how to leverage the power of social media as a tool for getting help and getting things done. In only 4 weeks, with the help of many others, she was able to pull things together to set up a home. She then notified Church World Service she was ready.
I created a Facebook page called Refugee Outreach Team. And I said, I would like to do this. If anybody would like to participate in this with me, and this meaning I don't really know what yet, please like this page and we'll go forward. So I knew we needed to create a home. We needed to supply them with clothing, groceries, everything that you would need to create a home. So beds, sheets, furniture, cookware, utensils, toiletries, towels, it's everything you would need for a family. So with that being said, I had very many likes on the Facebook page and many people saying, please let me know what I can do, when I can do it. And so I would make posts periodically saying, I'm still waiting for a family, but while I'm waiting, I'm going to set up a sign-up genius and we will do items to create a home first. So items to create a home, just like I said, all the essentials you would need in a home. So we set that up and people just clicked, yes, I can donate this. I'll donate 300 hangers. I'll donate bed sheets I'll donate a bed. And we went forward with that. So after the sign-up genius had went out for items to create a home, Christine had called and said, I have a family. They are Congolese. They're currently living in an encampment in Zambia. Is this a family that you would be interested in? And I said, of course, I don't care who they are or where they come from. I want them and I want to help. I'm ready to go. I've got this team ready. We are prepared. So that's when I learned that it would be Dukes and Belinda and their three children. So I knew approximate age and sex. So at that point, I could create a sign-up genius for clothing.
Beth met Roxanne for the first time when she was bringing over items to the house that Dukes and his family would be living. They hit it off immediately.
I think I walked in and I said, you must be Roxanne. And I think you said, are you Beth? Because she had known, I told her, I think I had communicated with you when I was going to drop the things off. And I was like, yes. And we hugged and we're like, this is so exciting. And I think I started putting clothing on hangers and just getting everything ready. Nesting for the family is what we did. And then later we had a meeting where orientation where Christine had said, anyone interested in orientation, come back to the apartment at such and such a time on such and such a date. And I did with my stepdaughter. And then we went from there.
And so the big day came. Dukes, Belinda, and family were arriving. Dukes remembers little about their first meeting, except that they were very happy to be in America and felt very welcome. On the other hand, an excited Roxanne and Beth have vivid and wonderful memories of meeting Dukes and his family.
Beth and I had drove together knowing that we would probably need two vehicles to for the family and their furniture. And when we had pulled into the Lancaster airport, two very large buses pulled in with several families that had come from Zambia. And we ran over and started hugging everybody. We didn't know who was ours. And so, you know, are you Belinda? Are you Dukes? Are you Belinda? Are you Dukes? And we're hugging children and everybody's exhausted. The flight was ridiculously long. Then they have to go through customs in New York City. Then they have to drive from New York City to Lancaster. They're exhausted. So it was overwhelming for everybody. They all put a smile on their face. We put a smile on our face. And we just hugged and tried to let them know that they're home now. This is home. And we're here to take care of them. So breathe easy. We got it from here.
From the beginning, Roxanne and Beth became Dukes and Belinda's go-to people. They helped them learn everything from how to get around in the neighborhood to getting their oldest children, Sadiv and Persil, registered in school and doing well, to where the local laundromat was to get their clothes clean. From the day after he arrived, Dukes wanted to go to work to support his family. He was very restless those first few weeks, waiting for the necessary paperwork to be completed.
Because they were waiting for my social security number to come out. It took a month. Just after getting my social security number, they gave me a job.
For Dukes, getting a job was an incredibly important milestone to helping build a new life in Lancaster. Roxanne witnessed this firsthand, along with a deep appreciation for his sense of responsibility.
Desperate to work, and I mean, he wanted to work the minute he got here. And I said, this is just going to take time. It's okay. Nobody's going to let you fail. But this just takes time, so we need to work with the CWS and the social workers to find you an appropriate job. Now, after he got a job, yay, so excited, very thrilled. Is 7 days a week, would not take a day off because he's allowed to work 7 days a week, is the hardest worker. The next hurdle was money. Do we have enough money? I realize my stipend will be running out. I need to make some decisions. Is this the right house for me? Is my rent good or can I get a lower rent? He's endlessly considering possibilities. He's always thinking. Mm-hmm. So what a beautiful problem to have, mm-hmm. that you're so determined and so driven.
After Dukes was hired, it didn't take long for him to become the go-to guy at work. He was responsible for the care of 61,000 chickens and got called at all hours to help solve problems that cropped up, even if it meant that he needed to work 7 days a week.
When I was in Africa, I owned a farm sometimes back. That means the job of chicken, I have also an idea about that. It's something that I know.
I was a little surprised to hear how much Dukes knew about raising chickens. It turns out, not only was he a chicken farmer at the camp in Zambia, he was also a bricklayer and taught math and physics. A person had to have many skills to survive in the camp, he told me. Sadiv, Dukes and Belinda's 9-year-old son, and Persil, their 6-year-old daughter, had both adjusted well in school. With the help and involvement of Roxanne, Beth, and Beth's stepdaughter, Samantha, a social worker who knows how to navigate and work with schools. Yet understandably, there have been some sad and nostalgic moments for the children as they remember the lives they left behind.
And I am in contact with the children, have an ESL teacher at their school, and that ESL teacher and I have become friends on Facebook, so we've had some interface, and I check in on them, and she'll give me reports when necessary, but she would say that adapting beautifully, grasping the language, some days sad. One day, Sadiv really was just very blue and sad, talking about his grandfather, mm-hmm. and I'm not sure if this is actually about his grandfather, mm-hmm. or perhaps just a level of exhaustion, a level of sadness, mourning, if you will, mourning grieving from what he's left, because this is new and shocking, but then bounces back immediately. God love teachers, yeah. You know. for identifying what needs to happen and allowing it to happen, because it's all a progression.
Yes, I think they're very, very good with Persil and Sadiv, and knowing that it's a special, not special situation, but it is. The circumstance is different than someone who lives three blocks away that was born and raised, you know, so far in Lancaster. I think they pick up on it, and they're, you know, you hear such, I've heard such good things from you and Samantha. Samantha has
from
talked
the school
to
Duke, district.
Yeah.
The school district of
Working
Lancaster.
With them.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
They're really prepared for, they've got a lot of ESL teachers, they've got a lot of programming, and they're really prepared for non-English speaking, out-of-country students.
What Dukes and Belinda value most about their new lives in America are freedom and safety. Safety for their family, something they never knew living in the camp in Zambia.
Always, okay, she's also surprised. She's also excited, you know, being in a place whereby she's free. You know, in Zambia, we're not free. We're not able to go in the city, right. Only in the camp. If we go in the city, you can be arrested.
Uh-huh.
That problem.
Yeah. You were confined to the camp.
Exactly.
But overall, they feel safe. And that's, their freedom is really important. And I think this mostly because Duke says that his children will never have to see what happened to him and not will not have to know what they truly were experiencing in Zambia. Because I think they kept them, I mean, they're little. They don't need to know.
Roxanne and Beth are planning a party in October to celebrate Dukes and his family's first year in Lancaster. The focal point of the celebration will, of course, be Dukes, Belinda, Sadiv, Persil, and Felicia. But it'll also be a celebration to honor and thank all of the many people that contributed to getting them settled in Lancaster. Being part of a helping community that has transformed Dukes and his family's life has in many ways transformed the lives of Roxanne and Beth's community as well.
I had initially said to the Facebook page, should we have some kind of a celebration so that all of you can meet all of them? And everybody said yes. And then I tried to think of a venue. And then you know what? Christmas came. And then after Christmas, life happened. And I thought, this isn't the time. If the time was right, I would know it. But I think at that 1 year point would be a great time to rent a fire hall and have all those people who participated meet this family who is now well acclimated. And everybody deserves it. Yeah. Everybody deserves to celebrate what's happened here. Right. We're celebrating a family that has totally succeeded.
I think that I really understand the value of community, and it's a group of people who change some, who make a change. Mm-hmm. And you may think if you're just helping one family that it's only one family, but in actuality, just helping that one family and this person helping the family and that person and the community coming together to help the family makes a difference everywhere, not only in the refugee's life, but in all of the lives of the people who are contributing. And I love that feeling.